Good morning, everyone. It's great to be in church, isn't it? Easter Sunday. It's great to be part of the family on Easter Sunday and just enjoy the sense of family together. I love the sense of family in the church. I love the fact that when I come in dressed out of the ordinary, I get lots of encouraging comments, and mostly encouraging. And my favourite so far is I look like Frodo Baggins. And I'll take that, Josh, Wendt, everyone looks like a hobbit to you, you're so tall, but it's just great to be acknowledged. Thank you, Josh. But really, the reason I point this out is because this morning when I got up, I thought, you know what, we are celebrating the wedding feast of the Lamb, and I don't want to go to church in jeans today. So we're celebrating the wedding feast of the Lamb, so hence the Frodo Baggins outfit. Amen. So happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. Why don't you nudge the person next to you, just say happy Easter. And then the person on the other side, give them a little nudge. And the person in front of you, tap them and say, happy Easter. You're on your own, Tim. Happy Easter. And maybe the person behind, happy Easter. Happy Easter to everyone. This is a significant day for us. We're celebrating today the very centre of our faith. At the centre of our faith is Jesus, is his death and his resurrection. That is the very centrepiece of Christianity. So, before we get to the empty tomb, spoiler alert, there's an empty tomb coming. Before we get there, we're just going to rewind slightly for a short moment and just go back to the cross. I want us to just in our mind's eye go back to the cross where Jesus has been publicly executed. He's hanging on the cross. He is dead. It has been a result of a mob baying for his blood. And they got what they wanted. The mob got what they wanted, and Jesus was publicly executed. And he is hanging there, and he is dead. And most of his followers have scattered. And that would make sense, wouldn't it? Because if you were associated with a guy who just had a bloodthirsty mob crying out that for him to be killed, and they got their wish, would you want to be associated with this man? That would be a very dangerous thing to do, I think, at this time, to be associated with Jesus when the angry mob has just gotten their desire to see him publicly and brutally executed. Most of the followers of Jesus have deserted him. They do not want to be associated with Jesus at this moment. If you've got your Bible with you, we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to start in Matthew 27, 55. So this is towards the end of the account of the crucifixion. Jesus is dead. He's been nailed to the cross. He's been publicly executed. And this is what it says. Verse 55, 56. Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is a remarkable thing, isn't it? Most people have scattered because they do not want to be associated with Jesus. It's dangerous and they are fearful. But these women, their devotion for Jesus is bigger than their fear of being associated with him at this time. This is a really important point. And I've noticed this before. I've seen this, the women at the cross before, and probably have even spoken about it. But the thing this Easter that really blew my mind, and I hadn't noticed this before, I'm going to read on into verses 57 to 61. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb and that he had cut out of rock. And he rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb, and he went away. This next bit, the amount of times I've read the Easter story, I'd never really registered this next bit. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. I've never clocked that before. Have you ever seen that before? That these Marys were at the crucifixion, but they're also at the burial. They see Jesus' dead body going into the tomb and the stone covering it. I'd never seen that before, and as I was reading the Easter story, that just really captured my attention. I couldn't kind of escape from that imagery. Have you ever noticed that before, that they were there at the cross and the burial of Jesus? Not many people can say that. These two Marys were there. And let's remind ourselves, this is dangerous. They are overtly and visually being associated with Jesus where everyone else is scattered. That's remarkable, isn't it? That their level of devotion was higher than the level of fear of being associated with Jesus, who's just been publicly executed. That's incredible. It completely blew my mind. And it got me thinking, have I ever been embarrassed to be associated with Jesus? Have you ever been embarrassed to be associated with Jesus? And I was reminded of a situation when I was at school, many years ago now, a long time in the past, when I was probably about year eight, something like that, so about 13, and a friend came back to my house for a meal, and at the meal, my mum said grace at the meal. I was slightly cringing at that point, but it was about to get a whole lot worse. So when I went into school the next day, there were lots of sniggers and laughs and pointing, and very quickly, I had a new nickname. Can you guess what my new nickname was? Grace. For a 13-year-old boy who's not very confident in himself, to be called for a long period of time by most of his year group, Grace, I was embarrassed of my association with Jesus at that time. I know, it's sad, isn't it, right? It is sad. The story gets better, Janet. It's all right. Thank you, though. Bless you, Janet. You're great. Can anyone else identify with that, though? Times in your life when you have been embarrassed to be associated with Jesus, where you've minimized your connection with Jesus for fear of what other people would say. School is a terrible place for that. What about the workplace? What about with our own families? When people have said, oh, do you really believe that? And you've kind of gone, oh, I'm not really sure. Oh, do I believe? Oh, I don't really know about that. And try to move the conversation on because we're embarrassed to be associated with Jesus. Anyone else had that before? Not so these women at the tomb. It's incredible. Their level of devotion to Jesus is amazing. They were there at the cross. They are there as he's being buried. Now, you could say, this is an interesting story, Chris. Interesting thread of the Easter story you pulled out here. But what does it matter? I shall tell you what it matters. As we get into chapter 28, let's read this. Chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, guess who's there? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go to look at the tomb. Of course they did. Who else is going to go look into the tomb? They are the ones who know where the tomb is because they are the ones who saw Jesus go into the tomb. No one else did. It's not John there. It's not Peter there. They don't even know where the tomb is because it's these ladies, these courageous ladies who want to be associated with Jesus. They know where the tomb is, so that's why they go to the tomb. No one else is recorded as knowing where the tomb is. Of course it's these two women. Visualize in your mind's eye what happens next. It's pretty cool. There was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. This is a dramatic and intense moment in history. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." It's amazing, this vision of this angel that is described here. It's so dramatic that the guards fall on their face like they're dead. And very often in the Bible, when an angel appears with a message, the first thing they have to say to people is, "It's okay, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. It's okay," because their appearance is so startling and dramatic. The first thing they have to say to people is, "Don't be afraid. Calm down. It's okay. I've just got a message for you. Nothing else, just a message." Imagine how incredible this angel was. He's just, I imagine, kind of rolling up, maybe just kicking the stone out of the way, very casually sitting on it like it's nothing. Angels are incredible and powerful. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, still afraid, because, I mean, this is confusing, right? They've just seen Jesus, who they love, publicly executed. He is definitely dead. They've seen him wrapped up. They have seen him go in a tomb and a stone go over. In their mind, they know he's dead. Then they see this amazing angel. The stone is rolled away. Confusion is going to reign, right? They're still going to be a bit confused and afraid. They hurry away, afraid, yet filled with joy. Amazing. And they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus came to meet them. Greetings, he said. Wow, what a moment. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, do not be afraid. There it is again. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Happy Easter. The Marys go to the tomb because they know where it is. They encounter Jesus on Resurrection Sunday because they are not ashamed to be associated with him on Good Friday. How many of us are not encountering Jesus and his resurrection glory to the fullest because we're a little bit embarrassed about being associated with him? Because we minimize our connection with him? How many of us are not experiencing the full life in Jesus because we've maybe taken a little step back? Jesus is a bit unsafe. He draws a bit too much unwanted attention. I'm not sure I want to be associated with Jesus. He's not that popular. Do I really want to be associated with him? For me personally, I have found the more associated with Jesus I become, the more I pursue him and seek him, the more joy and just life that I have. And if anyone was to give me the nickname Grace now, I would just be overwhelmed and flattered. It would be the highest compliment you could give me to be given a name that is associated with the power and the love and the mercy of God. Wow. I don't care if it's a girl's name. Call me Grace. I don't mind. I want to be associated with Jesus. I want to say with the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I want to be associated with Jesus. The Marys go to the tomb, probably in confusion, probably under a cloud of intimidation and oppression. And what they are met with is the message, do not be afraid. They go to the tomb full of grief. Can you imagine the level of grief and trauma that they have just seen and experienced? And what do they find? They find hope. They go to the tomb full of sorrow. And what do they come away with? Joy. It's remarkable, right? They go to the tomb expecting to deal with death, and they encounter life. They go to the tomb and they find Jesus. Amen? Yeah. This is good preaching this morning, right? Yes, come on. They encounter Jesus because they know where to go look for him. They are not ashamed to be associated with him. Things got very difficult at the cross. That's a big understatement, right? They got very difficult at the cross. And their response was not to run and hide. Their response is continued association with Jesus. When all seemed